Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is right that we exclude people when they are going to radicalize or encourage extremism. I happen to disagree with her about Donald Trump. I think his remarks are divisive, stupid, and wrong. And I think if he came to visit our country, I think he'd unite us all against him.
A pseudo-conservative, Cameron of England, calls Trump divisive, stupid, and wrong. Cameron, who ran as a conservative, turned out to be another Boehner. Another Boehner with a British accent. No, I didn't watch the debates last night. I took 20 minutes. I watched the opening just to see Wolf Blitzer make a fool of himself. Watched to predict exactly what I said would happen. You didn't have to be a genius to know what they were going to do. Didn't I tell you that on Monday?
Now, Mr. Trump, isn't it true you said that you wanted to ban all Muslims from America? Have you stopped beating your wife, Mr. Trump?
Gee, Wolf, you're a real genius. Maybe you should get a Pulitzer Prize for that one. But I have all of the hot spots from it. Big deal. But the biggest thing that came up in the debate, according to, and then I went off to a car show, by the way. I found it far more interesting to go to see Ferrari racing cars than listen to another bunch of men. You know, I'll be honest with you, bores the heck out of me. It's all hot air. It's nothing. Sound and fury. There's nothing there. Any one of those men on that stage, and I mean any one of them, even the idiot Rubio, the ice cream man, would make a better president than the Harrod and Hillary Clinton. Any one of them would be better for the safety of America's children than the Harrod called Hillary Clinton. But having said that, I was bored of it. I've heard it all before. Let's have the election already 3 months ago and get it over with. What a country we live in. How stupid can it get? They marched them out like show dogs. To milk the audience and to get as much time as they could out of it, they marched them out one at a time like show dogs. What an embarrassment to live in America and see men let themselves be manipulated like that by men lower than, well, let's say lower than the average intelligence out there in the media. You know the media has destroyed America. You know it's people in the media who wreck the country. You know that. And yet here's the media now controlling who'll be the next president. When have you last seen a debate with Hillary Clinton? Like never? You're telling me that stooge from New York, whatever his name is, the one who spits on himself, the old man on a soapbox, I don't even remember his name, the mockery of himself. He's a self-parody. He has as much chance to become president. My dog has a better chance to be a president than that one. I don't even remember his name. I don't know. The one from Vermont, the socialist. I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name. I knew men like that in New York. It's why I fled New York 40 years ago. They were the kind of bad uncles that you couldn't stand. Garlic breath, poked you in the chest to make a point, held onto your lapel, spritzed you with garlic and a chopped liver breath. I don't know his name. I don't know his name. But, okay, we got to talk about it for a few minutes. I'll do it. I'll be glad to. By the way, you're listening to The Savage Nation. Fiorina, what was the big cross for? You know, you look, what does she have to show the cross for? What was that about? In a time of terror to show she's not a Muslim? We kind of knew that. Fiorina was a terrible CEO. Fiorina was fired in California because she was a bad CEO. Fiorina ran for the governorship in California many years ago. I was a local talk show host. She didn't get very far because she's for open borders. So who is she trying to pretend she is now? All right, whatever. It's just what it is. Now, Trump was not Trump last night. Trump was not Trump last night. He was the un-Trump. Steal that one. Run with that one. He was the un-Trump last night. You know how I do Dr. Unsavage? I haven't done it in a long time. He was the un-Trump. He was Mr. Un-Trump. He was not shooting from the hip. He was very middle of the road. And as a result, I guess he's playing it safe now, which is smart. He's so far ahead, he doesn't have to be Trump anymore. He can be un-Trump. That's the truth. He could be un-Trump and sail right into the primary, you know, victory. That's unless it's rigged, and I think it's rigged. I'll go back to what I said Monday. It's all a hall of mirrors. You're looking at a hall of mirrors. Hillary has been selected, in my opinion. Hillary has already been selected for the presidency, no matter what you may think. The system is so rigged and so rotten and so corrupt. I have no faith in it whatsoever. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you want to hear hope and this and that. I can't give it to you. Before the show, I was watching an argument in the Ukrainian parliament. I know it's funny. I liked it much better. I don't speak much Ukrainian, but I saw that one threw a glass of water in the other one's face. It took over 2 minutes for him to get steamed up at the other one, and he threw a glass of water in the face of the former prime minister. These are big men. They get angry. Their testosterone rages. None of them are like these, I don't know, I got a word for it, but it's a family show. Now, the one thing Trump said that I think is worth discussion and worth your time. By the way, while you were watching the debate, I posted something on my Facebook account that I must mention to you. Did anyone see it? Raise your hand if you go to my Facebook account. There's four fake ones and one real one. There's a lot of fan sites that are not mine. My site is the one of me with the hat from Government Zero. And here it is. Yes, I warned you the snake would do this in Government Zero. And yes, I am telling you to read the book to see what the snake has in store for us. And it is an article from the Free Beacon showing us that the snake in the White House granted 3 million green cards in April. The snake granted 3 million green cards in April without a blink from the electorate. We're watching these debates. Did you hear what I just said? I mean, the snake gave out 3 million green cards. Now, what do you think the snake is doing this for? Because there's jobs waiting for them? The snake is doing it to make sure that Hillary is selected again. You don't understand this. We have a rogue government. It's out of control. He should have been impeached a long time ago. And what is the point of my saying it to you? With Ryan on the other side, you think anything is going to happen when he just gave him carte blanche with the budget? And what do you think the snake gave him in return? The Republicans sold themselves out again for a few dollars, for a few pieces of silver. They let the snake have all the money he needs to do anything he wants. And what did they get in return? They got the right to lift the ban on the oil import, export ban. First time in 30 or 40 years. Now they can sell oil abroad, which is a very good thing. That's what the snake gave them in return. So the oil industry, in other words, got something for letting the country go down the tubes even further. That's all. But most of you don't even know where the word down the tubes comes from. I encountered it a number of years ago in one of my books of short stories, a little-known book, not as big as Government Zero or Stop the Coming Civil War. One of my little books, like Psychological Nudity, a fine literary exercise, I wrote a story about a young man who invests his life fortune, his life savings, in the commodities industry. And in that story, he visits the commodities broker in a big building on Wall Street, and he invests his life savings, which at that time was $30,000. And the broker says, okay, it's gone now, it's down the tubes. Because in those days, the order was placed on a piece of paper and put into a pneumatic tube, which sucked it down into the actual brokerage room. Would you believe that? That's where the phrase down the tubes comes from. I don't know if you know that, but it's like throwing your money away. That means down the tubes. So there's one thing that Trump said. I know you don't follow me that well because it's hard for people in America to have more than one track running at any one time. We have one track mind. So if you have someone who speaks in six tracks in a sort of whatever, it's very hard to follow me. I get that. That's why the show is so popular, because there are a few people who have six track minds. Trump said, I am open to closing areas of the internet. Now that's worth talking about. And I'm going to play it for you. Trump says, I am open to closing areas of the internet. So let's listen to this interchange in clip 2-0. Go ahead, please.
You recently suggested closing that internet up, those were your words, as a way to stop ISIS from recruiting online. Are you referring to closing down actual portions of the internet? Some say that would put the U.S. in line with China and North Korea.
Well, look, this is so easy to answer. ISIS is recruiting through the internet. ISIS is using the internet better than we are using the internet, and it was our idea. What I wanted to do is I wanted to get our brilliant people from Silicon Valley and other places and figure out a way that ISIS cannot do what they're doing. You talk freedom of speech, you talk freedom of anything you want. I don't want them using our internet to take our young, impressive, impressionable youth and watching the media talking about how they're masterminds. These are masterminds. They shouldn't be using the word mastermind. These are thugs. These are terrible people in ISIS, not masterminds. And we have to change it from every standpoint. But we should be using our brilliant people, our most brilliant minds, to figure a way that ISIS cannot use the internet. And then on second, we should be able to penetrate the internet and find out exactly where ISIS is and everything about ISIS. And we can do that if we use our good people.
Let me follow up, Mr. Trump. So are you open to closing parts of the internet?
I would certainly be open to closing areas where we are at war with somebody. I sure as hell don't want to let people that want to kill us and kill our nation use our internet. Yes, sir, I am.
Now, I happen to agree with him because I said the same thing 4 weeks ago. I said, why is Twitter allowed to let them use the superhighway of Twitter to plan our next their next terrorist attack? I said it on the show. So I'm not going to go back on my own statement to sound like I didn't say it. Why do they let people at Microsoft get away with this? What, for a dollar? For a higher dollar amount? Why don't they stop them? Why don't they force these people who have made trillions of dollars off the internet to use their companies to prohibit the Islamic slime from using this to destroy the West, I said 4 weeks ago on the show. But I'll bet many of you are diehard libertarians and you disagree with it. See, this is the problem. Because if you are a didactic individual and you're not flexible, you'll say, well, according to my philosophy of libertarianism, we don't want the government reviewing anything on the internet. We don't want the government involved. But they're on it anyway. The government's on it anyway. What are you going to lose if the government looks at the internet? Tell me what you're going to lose. Your girlfriend won't know what you're having for lunch tomorrow? What are you putting on the internet that you're so afraid somebody will find out? Your sexual preferences? They already know what they are. And secondly, you might meet a nice guy in the NSA. You never know. I mean, the fact is, if you let the government look into your internet postings, you may meet a nice date. You never know. They may find that they're in love with you. No, I'm in favor of it. I'm open to closing areas of the internet. Anything that must be done should be done to stop the Islamo-fascists. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. An interesting question. Trump says we should control the internet, that he should close it down. I didn't say the whole thing, close it down. I know that libertarians are going to stick to their doxy and say, no, it violates my libertarianism. Liberals will say, how dare you? It violates the First Amendment. But, you know, you're not thinking clearly. We're in war. We're at war now with the Islamo-fascists. They're winning. We're losing. One of the reasons we're losing is because we have fellow travelers in the federal government. There's no question about it in the minds of anyone who analyzes it. That's number one. Well, let's say sympathizers, if you're afraid to go to the next step. You don't want to go to the next step and say fellow travelers and say sympathizers, okay? Put it any way you want. They have friends in high places. And so we're in trouble here. They're fighting a full-scale war against the West, and we're basically not doing very much in return. These are fake missions by Obama. He only got a little more muscular after Putin did something. In order to keep up with Putin, he tried to act like he was Teddy Roosevelt all of a sudden. So you got to do something to stop these people. You got to stop them from infiltrating us through the internet, and I think it's a reasonable idea. The phone number is 855-407-282. I wish I could take your calls, but I'm disconnected from the server. Another technical day on the Savage Nation. So I'll read you Butch the Rooster. Sarah was in the fertilized egg business. She had several hundred young pullets and 10 roosters to fertilize the eggs. She kept records, and any rooster not performing went into the soup pot and was replaced. This took a lot of time, so she bought some tiny bells and attached them to her roosters. Each bell had a different tone, so she could tell from a distance which rooster was performing. Now she could sit on the porch and fill out an efficiency report by just listening to the bells. Sarah's favorite rooster, Old Butch, was a very fine specimen, but this morning she noticed Old Butch's bell hadn't rung at all. When she went to investigate, she saw the other roosters were busy chasing pullets. Bells are ringing. But the pullets hearing the roosters coming would run for cover. To Sarah's amazement, old Butch had put his bell in his beak so it couldn't ring. He'd sneak up on a pullet, do his job, and walk on to the next one. Sarah was so proud of old Butch, she entered him in a show, and he became an overnight sensation among the judges. The result was the judges not only awarded old Butch the Nobel Peace Prize, they also awarded him the Pulitzer Prize as well. Clearly, old Butch was a politician in the making. Who else but a politician could figure out how to win two of the most coveted awards on our planet by being the best at sneaking up on the unsuspecting populace and screwing them when they weren't paying attention? Vote carefully in the next election. You can't always hear the bells. If you don't send this on, your chicken, no yolk. It's cute. It's funny. I just got it from a listener. It's hilariously funny. Butch the Rooster, very funny. Sometimes you have to resort to like stage canned humor. It's certainly more interesting than looking at Wolf Blitzer. I mean, I'd rather talk about a rooster than Wolf Blitzer, or whatever. Let's stop right there. Now, the person who opposes shutting down the internet or controlling it to control the Islamo-fascists the most is, of course, the predictable Rand Paul, who is now has a 2% rating. I told you he was a bizarro. Many of you love him because, you know, his politics are good. He's a nut job, a total nutcase. You know, him and his father are wonderful people, but they're not electable. Okay, maybe you're electable in their home state. But they look like mad roosters. If you look at Rand Paul, if you look at the hairdo, he looks like a mad rooster. Whatever, I don't have to say this stuff to get your attention. That's all. He's nuts. And he's miserably unhappy because he fell in the ratings. And he attacks Trump. All he does is attack Trump. He's the only one who came back with a retort saying, you shouldn't touch the internet. And he's giving us the doxy of the libertarian doxy. If you don't know what doxy means, I can't help you. 855-407-282 is my phone number. My website is michaelsavage.com. And the phone number, I forgot to give you that, is 855-407-400-SAVAGE. And if you get on this show, you'll reach more people than you've met in your entire life.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
All right, so weeks ago, I said we need to get the billionaires who run Twitter, Facebook, all of these companies, I said it on this program, need to be marshaled to fight the war against the Islamo-fascists. I said they shouldn't have the license to just rake in the money without protecting us by controlling their operations and denoting which of them are being used, you know, which highways, as it were, are being used by which terrorists, and turn it over to the government. That's what I said. So Trump basically said the same thing, and he was attacked for it by the nutty Rand Paul. Let's listen to the nutty Rand Paul, and I think it's six. Go ahead, please.
Is Donald Trump a serious candidate? The reason I ask this is, if you're going to close the internet, realize, America, what that entails. That entails getting rid of the First Amendment, okay? It's no small feat. If you are going to kill of terrorists, realize that there's something called the Geneva Convention we're going to have to pull out of. It would defy every norm that is America. So
they can kill us, but we can't kill them. That's what you're saying. And as far as the internet is concerned, I'm not talking about closing the internet. I'm talking about parts of Syria, parts of Iraq, where ISIS is spotting it. Now, you could close it. What I like even better than that is getting our smartest.
All right, right. He said get the smart people of Silicon Valley who are raking in the trillions, who are not helping in the war on terror at all. And they should be forced to do so. And that means Google, the Google boys who fly in the 767, which they park at the Ames Air Force Base for free, or $1 a year, courtesy of Nancy Pelosi's largesse. The airplane was used, by the way, to fly an entourage to Nancy Pelosi's daughter's wedding a number of years ago. You don't know anything about that, nor should you, but you just learned about it. Oh, yeah, years ago. Not too many years ago, Google's 767, which is parked on a federal facility for free, or $1 a year, was used to transport the entourage of Nancy Pelosi's wedding to some location in Utah, I believe, on the Google jet. Isn't that nice to have friends in high places? Well, it goes back to the 60s, I get by with a little help from my friends, and I get high with a little help from my friends. It's a Beatles song. Only these people actually live the life that the Beatles sang about. But we're no longer living in the yellow submarine, are we? No, we are all in the yellow submarine. No, we're not all in the yellow submarine. The submarine could implode from the level of incompetence that we have in this government. How is the head of the Department of Homeland Security not fired? The man failed us at least in San Bernardino, and he still has his job. How is it possible? They said the second biggest terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11, and that moron still has his job. Why? Because there's no opposition party. There's no opposition press. Nobody demands it. That's why. The only one, and I think there's a huge, huge schism in this government. Not I think, I know by what I read and what I see. There is a huge schism in this government, as evidenced by what the FBI director is trying to communicate to America and the world. He's one of the few willing to stand up to the tyrant, the snake in the White House. He's the only one willing to stand up to the snake. And the reason may be because he has a 10-year tenured position as it is. He also has extremely high regard from members of both Democrat and Republican parties. Everyone knows he's certainly the cleanest man in Washington, and that's FBI Director Comey. He's the only one who's even hinting at how bad it is, and it's much worse than he's telling us. That's the truth. He's almost trying to signal. He strikes me as a captive inside a government, and he's trying to signal to us how dangerous the waters really are, despite the nice talk from the other phonies. That's what I see going on. So now let's get back to this issue of the Internet. Tell me how you would stop ISIS if you didn't stop them from using Twitter and Facebook. How would you do it? I mean, it's easy to say in a vacuum, no, we don't want them to interfere with the Internet. It's very nice, but way past that point. Not only do we have to control the Internet, but we also have to use propaganda to smear them and to make them look like the vermin that they are. In World War II, I will remind you, because I'm a student of history, I've seen the books that were done to categorize the Germans and the Japanese as the monsters they were with regard to being our enemy. The caricatures, the stereotypes were magnified, and I don't have to spell them out here. And that was to turn them into an object rather than a person, so that when our boys went out to fight them on the battlefield, they were better able to kill them rather than be killed. That's what war requires. We don't have a propaganda campaign. We are afraid to even say that they're Islamo-fascists. We have to define them as they are. They are subhumans. They're not even human beings. They are subhumans. Now, why do I say that? Let me ask you good liberals if raping an 8-year-old girl until she bleeds to death is the behavior of a human being. Let me ask you people, because we heard this testimony last week in Congress from a Yazidi leader, in case you're a little too fine and refined to hear this stuff, of what they're actually doing on the ground. I don't even want to read the rest of it, because there are children who listen to this show. It's beyond the horror movie put out by Spielberg. It's beyond anything that Stephen King could ever write. That's what they're doing. Take your mind and magnify it to the nth degree of horror. That's what these people are doing to religious minorities. Christians, Yazidis. You tell me they're human beings? I would say that they're subhuman beings. When they start behaving like this on a regular basis, as a group, rather than as an individual psychopath who may do it once in a while, but instead when you have an entire army doing it, as a matter of course, I would say the entire army is subhuman. And let me go a step further. Trump said he would kill them and their families. What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that? What, do you think the families are sacred? You didn't see it was a woman who led the San Bernardino thing last week? What, is a woman suddenly sacred when she wants to blow your children up in a daycare center? And what about the little brats that they produce, they teach to hate and kill from the cradle to the grave? What, you want them to grow up for what? So they can come here as an illegal alien and blow your children up or blow you up in an old age home? What's wrong with you people? I know what's wrong. You're never going to change. You're not going to change in your lifetime unless there's another 9/11, God forbid. 10 times bigger than 9/11, maybe you'll wake up. And even then, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think the American people are so drugged and so entertained that unless the bomb goes off under their feet, they won't even care about it. That's what I truly and depressingly have to tell you. I think that we have become so atomized, separated, alienated from reality that it's almost impossible to wake you up. Many of you say, no, I know what's going on, Mike, you're right. This, and I'm not talking about the diehard audience that listens to the show and buys my books, you know, Government Zero and whatnot, and knows what's going on. You look around the streets and you tell me that those people are awake? They're not awake. They're zombies. They may look nice in a suit and tie or a nice dress and a pair of shoes, but they're zombies. They don't want to know what's going on. And anyone who says anything that requires any forcefulness that's real, they consider you the barbarian. They'd rather call you the barbarian than those who are raping 8-year-old girls till they bleed to death, by the way. So I say yes, use maximum measures to destroy them. If that means carpet bombing them and collateral damage, well, that means that. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't pinpoint an ISIS member without killing family members as well and killing innocent people, unfortunately, because they surround themselves with innocent people. Ask the IDF. Ask the Israeli Defense Forces what their experience have been in fighting Hezbollah and others about using human shields. You'll find out what real warfare is all about. But I don't need to go down that road. I think we should stick to the simple topic of the internet. I'd like to hear some of the arguments of why you shouldn't control portions of the internet in order to stop them from spreading their message of hatred. So, that's the topic for right now. 855-407-282 is the phone number. George on WABC, first up this hour. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I really respect what you do, and I just want to tell you that that's the first thing we should do is darken those people, shut the internet down. It's perfectly capable of doing that. The government controls that, and it's controlled through the...
Wait, hold on. You don't mean shut the internet down, do you?
Absolutely. In certain sections, we're very capable of doing
oh,
that.
Oh, you mean like shut it down in Syria, for example, in northern Iraq. That's what you mean.
I had a close relative that controlled the internet in Afghanistan. He worked for a big telecommunication company that contracted with the army. When the serviceman was killed in Afghanistan, he would pull the plug on the internet. He actually would pull the plug on the internet so that when that no one would find out back home that the serviceman had perished before the knock was on the door. We're perfectly capable of doing that.
All right, so let's just follow this out. Let's use our brains. We shut the internet off in Syria. We shut it off in northern Iraq. Does that stop the jihadis in Los Angeles from communicating with their friends in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely not. It is a
so how do we shut them? How do we shut the Islamo-fascists down in this country?
Well, like you said, their Twitter accounts and their email accounts and any other way they used to communicate. But I think we got to start over there where they're taking our innocent children from Australia and from America and getting them over there.
And that's what Trump said, and you know that's what he meant. He didn't mean shut it down in America, but the demagogue, Rand Paul, made it sound like he wanted to shut the internet down in America. Trump said, I'm talking about Iraq and Syria. That's what he said in plain English.
And my point is, we're perfectly capable of doing that, shutting it down in sections, keeping those people from communicating with each other, communicating with the jihadists in America, and stealing our children.
I think it's pretty clear that needs to be done, and it needs to be done yesterday, and I'm sending you a gift for the holidays, which is Government Zero, the most important book of our time. On to the next caller, WBAP Eric, welcome to the program. Hold on, I got to hit the right button. I have an announcement to make, by the way, about WBAP. I guess I can make it in a day or two. I don't know if I can do it today. Not yet, okay. Eric, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
All right, nice to talk to you, Dr. Savage. Like you were just saying, what if it's somebody already here in San Francisco talking to their buddies in D.C.? That's where I would have an issue, like, because let's just say Trump gets in, he has his way, he makes that happen, and a few years down the road, midterms hit and everything, the House and Senate turns blue and you get another sorority girl or a Jay Johnson and appointed to a certain position where all it takes is their interpretation of a certain definition, like the word terrorist or the word potential, to determine whether it expands from a real threat, like somebody from Syria or somewhere over there. Or
I hear what you're saying, yes. What you're afraid of is once you permit an overbearing government to gain control over an information superhighway to such an extent, it could then be used to control those amongst us who are the victims rather than the perpetrators of terrorism. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's my biggest fear.
It's a rational fear. It's a rational fear given that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's a rational fear. Then how about saying Muslims who engage in terror will not be able to use the internet? You can't do that, can you? Because that's racial profiling. You can't do that. How about saying Arabic? Anyone who communicates on the internet in Arabic will be shut down in these countries. Can't do that because that's linguistically profiling. Okay, so we'll do nothing. We'll just let them blow up a nursery school next time, and we'll all be good libertarians and good First Amendment individuals. I mean, we got to do something. We got to do something, so we got to start somewhere. We're doing nothing right now. Zero. Because we have government zero with President zero. In a government zero. Okay, I made my point. How do you begin then? The geniuses in the internet business can call the show. Why doesn't someone who works for Larry Ellison call the program from Silicon Valley? Why doesn't someone who works for the genius who runs Twitter call the show? Since we're having this debate, what do you think, we're all stupid? You think we don't want to see your companies closed down for you having permitted these people to communicate on your highways, which by the way, you didn't create. Incidentally, all you trillionaires, you didn't create these information superhighways. They were created with federal funds. Did you know that? Taxpayer money created these superhighways. These are just the robber barons of our time who stepped in like the wildcatters they are, the internet wildcatters, and capitalized on the flow of oil, so to speak. And I think it's time to get these robber barons to control the superhighways that were given to them. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. It never fails to amaze me how stupid listeners can be. Here's a Facebook posting. Says, it is your job as a political talk show host to watch the debate. I usually listen to your show, but because you have no comment on the GOP debate and can't talk about it, since you didn't watch it, I'm tuning you out today. What have I been talking about, Doris, for an hour now? I got the germ of the debate, Doris. What's wrong with these people? They make up their minds. They don't even know what they're talking about. Now, Keith on WABC is calling. He has a great point. Keith, make it now.
Hey, Mike. Yeah. About what Trump said in the internet, he's 100% right. These websites like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I mean, they should have people on there that are monitoring this stuff. I mean, they take down your pictures.
Well, thank you. They censored me. Excuse me. Mark Zuckerberg's little girl minions took down pictures that I posted on my Facebook account last week showing you what the Islamofascists were actually doing. They censored me. Why don't they censor the Islamofascists? Which side is Zuckerberg on?
They should censor them. On top of that, I mean, we have or should have people in the FBI that are like network security specialists. I mean, you would think that they could track the IP.
I'm sure they do, but they don't have enough of them, number one. What I think they need to do is have a special draft, not a generalized draft, because we don't need everyone. I think they need to draft computer experts into the military tomorrow. I think there needs to be a specialized selective service call-up of any computer-savvy young man or young woman between the ages of 18 and, let's say, whatever, it doesn't matter what the age group is. From age 18 on, they need to be drafted into the military immediately and put into the cyber divisions of the United States military at some command post somewhere deep in the bowels of America. Now get them to do something useful for America. And then we may have a chance of fighting the Islamofascists. I'm not kidding in what I just said. I didn't do it for effect. We don't need a generalized call-up. We don't need 3 to 4 million people to go onto the front lines. We need only a few hundred thousand computer-savvy people. They're never going to enlist in the military. We need to draft them immediately, a targeted, selective service draft. Just as we now have targeted chemotherapeutic agents, we need to target selective citizens for the selective service. That's Michael Savage's idea. We'll be right back.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I would certainly be open to closing areas where we are at war with somebody. I sure as hell don't want to let people that want to kill us and kill our nation use our internet. Yes, sir, I am.
All right, then they attacked him for saying that, and of course, predictably, Rand Paul, the doxied libertarian, jumps down his throat, telling him that he's wrong, that it's not constitutional, blah, blah, blah. So I came up with something in the last hour that's unique to the discussion, excuse me, and that is this. Not only should we target certain portions of the world for a blackout of the internet, turn it off completely. But I think we have to go several steps beyond that. And I said that the Selective Service should select computer-savvy young people and draft them into the U.S. military. China has a huge, huge underground facility, I understand, with young, cyber-savvy individuals who are on the internet all the time trying to penetrate various aspects of our government and spy on us, hurt us, shut down military computers, etc. I'm sure we have such divisions in the military, or we wouldn't even be functioning. But we don't have enough. We don't have a cyber army. And Michael Savage, I believe, is the first one, certainly in the radio business, to break new ground once again by calling for a selective draft of computer savvy young people. Don't ask them if they want to join. Force them to join. It doesn't matter how many lawyers they get. Override the lawyers. 18 years are up. You're going to be drafted if you're a computer expert. You're going into the military. You're going to fight this war in Islamic fascism, and you're going to do it immediately, whether you want to or not. We're at war. They're at war. They're killing us. We're not fighting back the way we need to fight back. And so I'm asking you in the audience, is this an idea that you would approve of? And if not, why not? Should the Selective Service select computer-savvy young people and draft them into the military? I'm talking about a selective service, not a broad-scale draft. We don't need 4 million people in the military right now. We're not putting them on the ground to fight ISIS. Number one, it wouldn't work. Number two, we don't need them. All we need is a real wartime leader to bomb them into the Stone Age. That's what we really need. But in terms of manpower and woman power, we absolutely need computer-savvy young people. You're between the ages of 18 and whatever. You grew up. You know how to use the internet. You're a whiz kid. You're going into the military. You are going into the military. You're going into a deep, dark chamber with other computer-savvy individuals for X number of years until we've beaten them. How's that? What's wrong with that? Tell me what's wrong with that idea. Jeff on WABC in New York City, make your point, please.
Mike, I support you 100%. I support Trump 100%. I'll tell you what, certain segments of this worldwide internet, I mean, it's like giving Goebbels a desk right next to, you know, the news anchor, like right next to Walter Cronkite every night, in which to, you know, spew their particular brand of product.
Right. These superhighways were created with government money, with the taxpayer funding, and the wildcatters who own these companies like Twitter and Facebook have made billions off of it. It's time for them to give back to us instead of being the greedy people that they are. And we need to crack down on them right now and force them to do something. And one of the things we need to do is not only restrict the internet in Iraq, in Syria, but also we need to draft people into the military who are computer savvy. I think you would agree with that.
I agree 100% with that, because you have to remember, this is not only an action in order to recruit people, but that long arm of reach of the internet is being used as a tool to communicate with the people that are already here.
But you, Jeff, I'm looking at the screen and it says liberals rather protect kids from God in school than from ISIS propaganda on the internet. That's right. Liberal psychotics root out any mention of God. Any mention of God is rooted out by the psychotics with law degrees in the ACLU, who, by the way, are a terrorist, is a terrorist organization. The ACLU is clearly a terrorist organization by any definition. If they're attacking our fundamental liberties and attacking, excuse me, our fundamental belief in God and saying virtually nothing about the war on terror, we have to understand that they're actually on the other side. But I'm not in the government. I'm in the media. And all I survive on is my wits and my ideas. And that's my idea, which is to bring back the draft selectively for computer savvy young people. I assume you agree with that.
I absolutely agree with it. I think.
All right. Well, that's commonsensical. I think it's a great idea. I love my idea. And I know I haven't heard it on any other show. They're busy talking about other things that they heard on another show, who are busy talking about other things that they heard on yet another show. I mean, either we have a currency of new ideas or we're there's no reason for this business. It's that simple. So I gave you a new idea. It's a new idea. It's not that brilliant. I'm not Einstein, but it's a new idea for talk radio. Okay, we're not going backwards now. We're going forwards. That's a forward-thinking idea. A selective draft aimed at computer-savvy young people. I love the idea. It's a great idea. Draft a couple of 100,000, give them to all branches of the military. Give them some basic training in a boot camp so they at least learn how to fire a rifle if they need to. They may love it. They may feel better than they felt in their entire life instead of being pampered and babied by some psycho parent somewhere. B.O.B. Radio. Joe, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I think it's a terrific idea. I'm a 25-year Navy vet myself, and I've always thought that young people should go in the military anyway in this country for at least a couple years, but we've got to fight the war where the war is being fought, and that's on the Internet and in cyberspace. So I just think it's a terrific idea.
Right, because if we said bring back the draft, that could be debated because we do not need 4 million people all of a sudden. We don't have the infrastructure. It was all destroyed by the liberals who took our great military bases and gave them to their friends to develop them into real estate. Look at Feinstein's backyard with the Presidio. Take a look at what Feinstein, Boxer, and Pelosi have done to the Presidio military base. They've turned it into a liberal playground. And if you think people haven't made fortunes on that transfer of property, you're mistaken. I can name the hotels that they've built on these properties, etc. But the fact is, we don't even have the infrastructure to house all of these millions that we do not need. We only need a few hundred thousand, and that infrastructure is very easily created. Thank you. I'm giving you a copy of Government Zero. This idea is not in Government Zero. This idea will be in another form at another time. Right now, you have it for free. It's gone out into the internet of talk radio, the airwaves, rather, of talk radio. And I hope it circulates and percolates. And I hope that people in the Republican Party who really care about this country steal my idea. Steal my idea and don't give me credit for it. I don't care. Just run with the idea. Make believe it's yours. Maybe Rubio could steal it. The child candidate. If I had to look at that moron smiling for one more second, I would say either the guy is a dunce. I've never seen anything like this. He smiled when he came on the stage like it was a child reciting Hickory Dickory Dock in the first grade. Here I am, Marco Rubio. I'm so smart, I'm going to be the president. I had my teeth brushed and my hair brushed last night. Don't my new shoes look so shiny? I'm Marco Rubio. I want to be president. Hickory Dickory Dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one, and Rubio ran down. Hickory Dickory Dock. Yeah, that's a candidate. He's the only one on the stage that I wouldn't vote for. The one handpicked by Larry Ellison and Myron from Las Vegas. I forget Myron's last name. The one who owns the big hotels, the gambling casinos. Myron the Republican. I don't know his name. I'm sorry. I know he's very important and very rich. A Republican from Las Vegas. What's his name, Robert? No one knows. No one knows anything in radio. You have to look it up. The big hotel magnate, Adelson. Sheldon Adelson, not Myron, sorry. Shelley Boy picked Rubio because Rubio is for open borders, and Shelley needs cheap labor. Period. End of story. My opinion. He's the Republican. Democrat Ellison picked Rubio, put a lot of money behind him, a lot of manpower, a lot of intelligence. Why? Because he wants cheap labor. He wants cheap labor. There aren't enough yachts on the planet for Ellison. There isn't enough money on the earth for Ellison or Adelson. And so they want cheaper labor. They want to melt the country down even further. Instead of giving American IT workers their jobs back, they'd rather bring them in from India because they work for half the price. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's not more complicated than that. That's who the H-1B visas were given to. That's simple. Michael on WBAP, enjoy me while you can for the remaining days. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think it'd be hard to implement because of the fact that you could draft them in there, but then to try to make them think and try to get them to be productive would be difficult. I think you'd have to do more financial style incentives rather than.
Well, it may be difficult, but the babies could be forced to actually do something instead of just playing with the internet. They could be given, as I say, 3 months of basic training where they're told what their mission is and taught that they have a real job to do that's responsible and that they're going to be required to perform, and they can't cop out based upon their neurosis or fears or nervousness or they don't feel comfortable. It's simple. They're in the army now, and they better get used to it. I mean, you could make it like a gigantic internet company in the military, give them free bottles of water and give them a free whatever they want to eat, some tofu for lunch instead of meat. And believe me, you can make them very comfortable pretty fast. I'm not saying they're all going to perform to the level that we want them to perform, but they have to be taught that they have to, and there are consequences if they don't, that they can't cry their way out or hire a lawyer to get their way out. They're not getting out of the military. They're in, and they're going to work for X number of years, and if they don't, there are consequences. They'll be put in prison. That's something that will motivate them pretty good to become real human beings instead of internet babies. Thanks for the call, Michael. No, you have to get tough. We have to crack down. We need it. We need a selective service draft on people who are computer savvy. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Here's a little article for you from HotAir.com. While we fight over Trump, France closes three mosques, finds hundreds of weapons. The French have adopted what is clearly a no-nonsense attitude towards radical Islamist terrorism, and they're not taking their foot off the gas. As the United States continues to debate over tone and how to balance religious liberty and tolerance against domestic security, François Hollande's forces have cut a few corners on those subjects, and just began shutting down mosques. At least three of the Muslim houses of worship have been closed already, and law enforcement has found a trove of disturbing items among the hall. Guns, 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 guns. Tom Porter at the International Business Times reports that the guns included 7.62 millimeter ammo, AK-47 rifles, terrorist propaganda videos, and they're just getting started in the mosques. That's what's going on in France. And what's going on here? You don't know what's going on here? Are you ready for the next one? You better hold on. Because here it comes. The snake in the White House has already admitted over 100,000 Syrians since 2012. You see, he's doing the shuck and jive on you, telling you he's going to bring in 10,000, and we're literally arguing over whether we should or we shouldn't bring in mainly men of military age from Syria. Well, the snake has already silently brought in 100,000 of them since 2012. How do I know this? Because it just came out today. Some 102,313 Syrians have been granted admission to the U.S. as legal permanent residents or through programs including work, study, and tourist visas from 2012 through August of this year, according to information released just now by FoxNews.com. Take that home and think about it. 102,000 of them have been let into this country on all kinds of visas and with green cards. Many of them are holding U.S. citizenship, and nobody has vetted them. And Jay Johnson still has his job. Can you reasonably assume that amongst the 102,000 of these people, some of them might be terrorists? You would say none? Would you say one? You say one is not possible? Two? Ten? How many? You think any of them were vetted by Jay Johnson's group of clowns? I'm asking you. I'm asking you, how much worse does it have to get until the people rise up and demand a change? WMAL, Jeremy, welcome to the program. You've got about 2 minutes. Fire away.
Hello. So I'm not in IT, but I dabble in the IT industry. I'm a private contractor working on many government agencies. What you're talking about, drafting people with IT backgrounds and stuff like that, is sort of already happening. One project I was working on was getting hacked by China, and one of the guys that was assisting me, turns out that he was offered a plea deal. He was busted for espionage on an industrial scale, and his plea deal was to work for this certain agency to pretty much get off the charges. So he turned into a white hat.
I understand that there's a movie out now called Black Hat about them going into one of the prisons and bringing out a guy who was busted for using computer technology to steal a lot of money on Wall Street, and he's given a plea deal. They'll let him out of jail if he works with a Chinese captain to break down a network that's doing these things, like running up the price of, I think it was soy or wheat, I don't know what, making money on that, closing things down like subways. I'm not talking about just doing that. I'm talking about actually drafting people who don't want to be drafted and forcing them to work in the military. What do you think about that idea?
I also know of an Air Force program, because I've also worked with some of these guys, where they're plucking people out of high school that are testing higher on the ASVAB test that may want to go into a certain area, but they're pushing them to go into IT and pushing them on that side on the recruitment tools. Like, look, we can get you further. We can get you better education than what you...
Oh, yeah, I understand, but you know that their mothers and fathers are going to say, don't be a redneck, don't go into the military. Hold out for a job in Facebook or Twitter. I'm talking about the rich kids who come from good families, who are IT experts. I am saying draft them against their will. It's a matter of life and death. That's my opinion. A copy of Government Zero goes out to you as a Christmas present. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We're all talking about last night's debate, but I've gone way beyond it. I've taken off from Trump saying shut the internet off in parts of the world, which he's 100% right about. And I said that we need to draft, selectively draft computer savvy young people, force them into the military to serve us, to take down websites, to expose the individuals if possible. You see what I'm saying? What is wrong with that idea? Now we have Alan on WJR calling. Alan, welcome to the program. You say that you're a hacker, is that correct?
I used to do stuff like that, yes. And a hacker community is very unique.
What is a hacker? What does a hacker do?
The draft wouldn't work because you got what's called a...
No, wait. Before we go to the draft, Alan, what does a hacker do?
You got two different types, basically. You got hard and soft. A soft hacker will go in and look at people's stuff, but won't change anything. A hard hacker goes in and changes stuff and brings them down, as you say, and does stuff like that to the equipment or to the place or to the company or government or whatever.
All right, so let's say they don't like Donald Trump. The hackers shut down his website last week. That's what you mean, the dark hackers, right?
That's a hard hacker, yes.
All right, but Alan, are most hackers left-wing fanatics?
No, most hackers are just rebels. They just want to do hacking. And that's why, if you try to get them...
Well, no, this is very important. I like this. It's like the Dirty Dozen with Lee Marvin. So, in other words, a lot of them are renegades and somewhat criminal in their mentality. And so if you drafted them, you're saying they're unmanageable is what you're implying. Isn't that correct?
No, you got an entry-level discharge, so they'll just become passive-aggressive. The way to do it would be to tell them, hey, we're going to hire you to be the hacker. We are going to pay you this much money, and we'll write you a paper saying you're free of all charges against you for hacking in these areas.
But wait, that's if you catch them first. You'd have to first laboriously catch the hackers. We don't have time for that. We need a couple of 100,000 computer geniuses drafted into the military. And I'll tell you where I'd start. I'd force Zuckerberg to give up a certain percentage of his workforce to the military effort. What would be wrong with that idea?
They're not the hackers. Those are programmers. They're two different beasts.
I understand that, but don't we need both?
Hey, I want hackers. This is what I'm looking
for. Hold on. Don't we need both? Don't we need hackers to break into the ISIS and Al-Qaeda websites or communications networks? And don't we need computer programmers to put out positive propaganda for young people in this country? I think that Zuckerberg has to pay back to this nation instead of catering to China, and I think he needs to give up a good percentage of his workforce. And the same goes for Larry Ellison, and the same goes for Bill Gates. It's time for them to give back to this country.
I don't have a problem with what you just said, but the thing about it is if you want hackers to bring down the bad countries, then what you need to do is put an ad out there saying, hackers looking for hire, and you will get hackers, you'll get all sorts in, all levels.
Look, let me explain, here's how I would react. Listen, I'm a rebellious person. As old as I am, I'm a rebel. I've been a rebel all my life. I rebel against any authority. Ask anyone who knows me. Anyone who tells me what to do, I bristle and I go the other way. I've been a rebel since I was born. I'm very rebellious. I'll tell you how I would react to that. I wouldn't react to it in the way they think. I would not do it at all. I wouldn't do what they ask me to do. I do the opposite. They're not going to do it unless you force them to do it. You cannot appeal to a rebel to do the right thing. They're not going to do it.
But a hacker, if you give him a challenge, I challenge you to break into China's internet or Russia's internet or somebody else.
Yeah, but they'll read right through it. They're smarter than the guy who's going to try to recruit them. They're going to look right through him and laugh at him. You know, I don't think it would work. I mean, from the other side, you say it wouldn't work for your reasons, and I don't deny that you're right, but I would say that won't work for my reasons.
Well, I got a lot of friends that still do it, and that's what they talk about. The only reason they won't try to do certain stuff is because they're afraid of the criminal charges that would come against them.
Okay, now you're making a different point, and it's a very good one. You just made a completely salient point. You said that they'd be glad to break into ISIS networks, but they're afraid that they would be arrested for doing so by this government, more or less. Isn't that what you said?
Exactly.
So they don't trust the government, nor do I. So how are you going to get hackers to trust this government when it's an untrusty enterprise to begin with? Nobody trusts this government. We have the sneakiest president in the history of this country. Why would anyone trust them at all?
Well, I don't, but...
I don't either.
I don't either.
I have nothing but contempt for them.
Say again?
Okay, so my idea may not work. In other words, you draft people, they're not going to do it anyways, what you're saying.
Right, but if you give them the motivation, they're always trying to find out who's the best. They're always trying to find out who can get who. So you take a set of really good hackers and you put them in the same room and you say, this is our challenge today. And they're going to go against each other to try to see who can finish it first.
I think that you ought to be drafted by the government to run the Hackers Bureau inside the U.S. military. at least you have a sense of humor. I would probably get along with the hackers because we think the same way. Fundamentally, when you think about talk radio, if it's truly rebellious, it's actually kind of hacking the mentality of the country is what we're doing.
I go along with that.
I'm telling you, if we're good at talk radio, what we're doing is we're going up against the status quo, and we're hacking the mainstream BS. We're saying, no, that's not what it is. We're going to take down that big lie, and we're going to tell you what we think the truth is. I can guarantee you, I would suspect, I'll use a literary term or a term from the academic days, Savage would suspect that I have a large number of individuals in the hacking community who listen to this show because they think the same way. All right, my friend, my hacking friend from Somewhereville, I'm sending you my book, Government Zero, Don't Hack It. Whatever you do, don't hack it, my friends. You know, I told you last night that gentleman just called from WJR, one of my great affiliates in Detroit. And I went to a show. I watched the debates for 20, 30 minutes. I had enough of the show. I mean, then I got the replay. That's why I can talk about it with all these great sound bites. And look how just one sound bite has set off such a good discussion. I mean, I don't need to review everything that was said. I took one great idea, which is Trump saying close the internet in parts and Rand Paul attacking him for that. And look where we've gotten with his fabulous stuff so far. But I then went to a once a year party at a Ferrari dealership. I told you that. Because I love cars and I love exotic machinery. I always have since I'm a kid. I like motors and cars. And make a long story short, they had some rare racing cars there. And we got one picture that's not that great of me in front of one of them on michaelsavage.com. It's a, I think it's a Formula One, isn't it, Ryan? A Formula One race car? I'm not sure what it is. Fantastic. The point is that, do you know that in this little gathering of people in that little showroom, in that little dealership, I had listeners from as far away as Detroit. They didn't come to see me because nobody knew I would be there. I wasn't a guest of honor. I just showed up. But I had so many fans in that room. And you know, it leads to another train of thought, which it's an area I'm a little reluctant to talk about, and that's about wealth and talk radio. Everyone in talk radio who is in the major leagues, the top five, is a wealthy person. They're lying to you if they pretend otherwise. They're not the average Joe. They're not Joe Sixpack. None of us are. It doesn't matter what our origins were. Mine were very poor. But I'm not a poor man. What I'm getting at is it's almost okay to talk about nice things again, and it's all because of Donald Trump. It's one of the reasons I love Trump is that he's so boastful that he says, I'm worth $10 billion. I don't care if it's $5 billion or $8 billion. It doesn't matter to me. He has a beautiful airplane. He has a beautiful helicopter. He has a beautiful country club. He has a beautiful wife. He has beautiful shoes. He has beautiful children. He has made being successful okay again. And I got a little secret for you. Poor people admire him for it. I don't think you understand his appeal to poor people. He is more appealing to the poor person who would like to be rich than that socialist idiot who tells everyone who has money, tells you that everyone who has money is no good. The point I'm making is, it's nice to talk about things that I like without having to hide them. Why should I have to hide talking about an exotic sports car? What, you're liable to think that I have a sports car? I do. So what? I didn't take it from you. I earned it. I earned it. It's that simple, and that's why I would like to talk about these things from time to time. Not today. Maybe another day. Phone number here is 855-407-282. I think my idea on the drafting people is really good, and what we're talking about is getting kids who are 18 and up, who are computer experts, computer savvy, who don't want to work for the government. Well, I'm not going to go in the military. Are you crazy? I want to make a fortune. I want to go to work for Facebook. I want to go to work for Microsoft. I want to go to work for Oracle. I'm not going to go to work for you. I want to go to work for Twitter. Well, it's too bad. Uncle Sam wants you. You're enlisted. Now, I go a step further. I would force the owners of these companies to give up a certain percent of their workforce. Those in their companies who are not in programming, as we just learned, but on the other side of things, I can guarantee you that they all have divisions in their companies of hackers to stop the hackers who want to hack their companies, okay? Think about it. Use your brain. Flex it. If you were running Facebook, wouldn't you have a whole room full of hackers who are so good at what they do that they stop hackers from hacking Facebook? Yes? Enlist them. Draft them. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Should the Selective Service selectively draft computer-savvy people in order to conduct a war against terrorist organizations is the topic. We stumbled upon it, and it's a takeoff from the debate last night where Donald Trump wisely said that he is open to closing areas of the Internet around the world. And, of course, the idiot Wolf Blitzer tried to make it sound as though he wanted to shut the Internet down in America. And then, of course, he was jumped on by the zany Rand Paul, who said he wasn't constitutionally equipped to make a statement like that, whatever. Well, this is talk radio for me that I like. I mean, I got to tell you something. I love talk radio when the ideas are percolating like this and I get callers like I've been getting, like the guy who was in the hacker community. Well, here's another one now. You ready for this? Benjamin, WVNN Radio. Welcome to the program. What's your opinion on the drafting of selective individuals in the computer industry?
As a 33-year-old who's been in IT since he was 17 and who has taught collegiately IT for 9 years, I'm completely against this idea. The military has apparatus already in place. If they want to bolster their cyber warfare apparatus. They already have a means of doing that. There's no reason to have to reinstate a selective service draft, particularly for...
No, hold it. I'm not denying that what you're saying is I'm not saying it's invalid. I want you to explain why the military, how the military already can do this.
Well, because they can just pay more. They can hire more. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. We're one of the third largest IT cities in the country behind San Francisco and behind Austin. You can't throw a rock without hitting an IT company, be it that are directly working for the DOD, that are a shell company for the DOD, et cetera. They can pay more for the positions. We want to talk about...
Hold on. I'm learning something. I'm learning something, as are many of my listeners. What you're saying is we don't need a selective draft because... We already have contractors providing these services to the DOD?
There are already dozens of companies that are providing...
Well, good. No, I'm listening to you very carefully. Then I have a little simple question for you, Mr. IT. How come we're losing the cyber war if we have so many contractors working already?
They don't want to pay. They don't want to pay the rates that everyone's wanting to pay. Because, yes, Facebook will pay more. Because these other third-party companies that aren't huge companies like Microsoft will pay more. If you want to get good people, people that are certified like I am, that have the qualifications to meet DOD 85-7...
Benjamin, let me say this. In World War II, when we were fighting for our survival, long before my time, there was a draft... And they took the cream of the crop along with the bottom feeders into the military. They took in doctors, lawyers, engineers. Do you think every one of them wanted to go into the military? I'm sure they would rather have stayed home and made a good living, but they couldn't. They were required for the war effort, Benjamin.
There was also a great number of those incredibly skilled people that signed up for it as well. What I'm saying is that for a selective service, you would be removing a significant portion of the people that are already running the existing military and civilian internet infrastructures. And the
All right, so I would say then leave them alone and go to the next level of people who are not serving in through a private contractor. Look, Benjamin, we're all in this together. Liberal, conservative, doesn't matter, black, white, gay, straight. They're bombing us. They're killing us. They're going to take over the country unless they're stopped. And apparently the frontier of this effort is in the internet area.
I completely agree, and our cyber warfare initiative has been severely lacking over the last two, possibly three presidents because no one's wanted to take this seriously. Now, a previous caller talked...
Well, no, I disagree with that. That's not the reason. The reason is because the buccaneers who run the IT business, the trillionaires who own this business are not willing to give up the talent to the government. You know and I know it's all about greed and it's all about profit. They wouldn't give up a dime unless they have to. That's what I'm talking about. Force Microsoft, force Facebook, force Twitter, force Oracle to give up some of their best individuals. Then you'll make a dent against ISIS. And the reason we're not is because they haven't been forced to, is because Obama goes to them for fundraising, for example, as did Bush, as do all of them on that stage last night, except Donald Trump didn't go there with his hand out. They own them lock, stock, and barrel. They don't want to give up a worker, for God's sakes.
You want the federal government to step into private business and tell them who they can and can't hire and what they can and cannot pay?
No, I didn't say that. No. I said take away some of their workers and enlist them into the military. That's a little different.
I
didn't ask the federal government to tell them what to do. I said take some of their best workers and use them in the war effort. Listen, you and I could argue over this today or tomorrow, and others can chime in on radio shows and call me every name under the sun. What I'm suggesting is going to happen in our lifetime, as sure as I'm standing here. There will be a selective draft for individuals who are necessary for the war effort, whether we like it or not. It's going to happen. That's what's going to have to happen, because people by nature would not want to enlist. They'd rather stay here and go to work for a good company and not be in a military situation. I don't blame them, but that's what's going to have to be done, because they're not going to go into the military. Benjamin, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. I'll give you an example in the few seconds that remain in this hour. I know I lose certain affiliates after hour two, and I have another huge hour, and most of them, with most of my stations. My deceased father-in-law, one of the finest men I ever met in my life. He died a number of years ago. This man had young children. He had just graduated Harvard Law School. He was drafted into the military in World War II and made a naval officer. Well, he spent years of his life there. And he came out a broken man in some ways. It took him years to recover when he saw his fellow sailors blown up next to him on a ship. A man he was talking to 1 second was dead next.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I would certainly be open to closing areas where we are at war with somebody. I sure as hell don't want to let people that want to kill us and kill our nation use our internet. Yes, sir, I am.
That came out of last night's debates, and we've been talking about that for a while, where Trump was misinterpreted once again and set up by the moron Blitzer, the left-wing operative, the wobbly. And, of course, he was then attacked by Rand Paul, the bizarre, and was set to say something he never said, which I'm used to myself. They take something you say and then twist it into something you didn't even say and then say you said it and then start debating whether what you said is right or wrong. Trump said is to get our brilliant people from Silicon Valley and figure out a way to stop ISIS from doing what they're doing. I agree 1,000%, but I went a step further. I wouldn't get our brilliant people and ask them to do it. I would require them to do it. The buccaneers of the internet fortunes, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Bill Gates of Microsoft, Larry Ellison of Oracle, they're brilliant people, very successful. They have more money than they could ever spend for the next 10,000 years. And yet they want cheaper labor. My best estimate is why they push a guy like Rubio is because he's for open borders, so they can bring in tech workers from India, for example, who will work for half the amount of money that an American worker will work for. This is how sickening this is. And if we had a legitimate government, they wouldn't be allowed to take money from the buccaneers who have capitalized on these superhighways. They wouldn't be allowed to take money from the buccaneers. They'd force the buccaneers to do the right thing. And what do I mean by do the right thing? Well, there's a lot of things they could be doing that they're not doing, this war on terror. And one of the things we're talking about is bringing back a selective selective service that targets IT workers who can go to work for the government as hackers to take down ISIS websites, Al-Qaeda websites. And then we need programmers to program positive information for the youth of America to make them love the country again and want to help the country again. And then you're going to be involved in a cyber war that you might win. And until we do that, we're not going to win this war. We're going to continue to lose it. And the reason we're losing it is because the buccaneers of the superhighway pay the politicians off. Well, what do you think Obama does when he goes to Silicon Valley and he gets $30,000 a head for a speech? Why do you think that they organize these speeches for him? It's to keep him from demanding anything of them. It's cheap. What does it cost them? Nothing. You give him $30,000, they don't give him anything. They throw together a dinner somewhere in a hotel, have an entertainer, some guy comes along and does a song for them, and then they get to keep, you know, cashing it in. So if we want to win the war, we have to do it intelligently. It has to be done along the lines of World War II, which, and I'll remind you, men like Sarnoff, whose name you have probably forgotten by now, Sarnoff owned NBC, the National Broadcasting a network, whatever it was called, NBC. Well, Sarnoff was either the general manager, the owner. He was in the family that created RCA and NBC, I believe. Sarnoff enlisted in the military as a colonel for $1 a year to lend his brilliance in organization and planning as a businessman for the war effort to defeat Hitler and to defeat Japan. Did you know that? And he was one of many great men in American industry who actually enlisted in the military at $1 a year in order to defeat Hitler. You don't know that. Now tell me why Bill Gates hasn't enlisted in the military to defeat ISIS. Tell me why Zuckerberg hasn't enlisted any of his company to defeat ISIS. Well, I'll let you figure out why. You know, probably a number of reasons. The number one reason is the profit motive. And if we no longer have patriots at that level, then we have to force patriotism upon them. And that's what we're talking about on the Savage Nation today. And we do have some phenomenally great callers. It's good radio today. I'm glad to see that we have such great ideas. And now we have a hacker calling from MAL in Washington. John, go ahead, please. You are a self-defined hacker, correct?
No, sir. I'm a certified ethical hacker.
Okay. I know that you're rebellious, so I knew you wouldn't agree with me even if I said something you agreed with. But what do you actually do?
So I currently support the federal government in protecting our diplomats overseas. Some of that involves cyber realm, yes.
Okay, so you are working for the government, but as a private contractor, or were you drafted?
No, I served I enlisted out of high school, and I served almost a decade in the military in some very sensitive roles, and now I'm a private contractor.
Good. Okay, do you agree or disagree with my idea, and why do you disagree with it if you do? And I think you disagree with my idea of drafting selectively. Why do you disagree?
I do only because I've been at that level and I know how those operations go down, and the apparatus, and some of your callers have briefly touched on this, the apparatus that the people that do these things, and there's already entities out there that do this, the apparatus that they use to do this requires access to systems at the TS and SCI levels, the top secret and CISO compartment information levels. So basically the equivalency what you're talking about is taking a bunch of individuals that don't want to help you. Say we have a problem with finances in the country, which we do, and you're going to take all these brilliant mathematics and economics kids, and you're going to give them access to everybody's bank information and say, hey, make everybody wealthy. I think you'd find problems giving out personal information like that, and the analogy is very similar to what you do at these operational levels. So what you would have to do is you'd have to get all these thousands of people that you're talking about and get them up to be able to be trustworthy enough to be able to handle TSFCI information.
But John, but you're an ex-military veteran and you're a hacker and you're working at it. Wouldn't you be an ideal manager of such children?
You mentioned earlier that it's all about, talk radio is all about hacking and managing personalities, and I think some of your listeners got it right, where if you're going to do a selective service, you need to be very selective on who you select. So you have to be a patriot. You have to be willing to handle information that is extremely sensitive. The whole concept behind top secret SCI information is that it is gravely serious if it was ever released to the public. So absolutely, you want the best of the best in there, and should you go to people that have those skill sets and get those people? Absolutely. I don't think money is certainly an issue as far as payment. Benjamin mentioned that earlier. I think what you find, honestly, having been there, watched these things go live, been part of them, is honestly it's the bureaucracy and legal aspects that these guys are fighting with one hand tied behind their back.
Interesting.
So
no, this is fascinating for me. I'm sitting here and learning. I'm absorbing like a child. But my overall idea of a selective service, overall, I can see you're not 100% against it.
No, only because you put us as a nation, as patriots, at such risk because of the systems that you have to give them access to. You're basically introducing a bunch of Snowdens. Snowden was very intelligent, but he was a detriment to our nation. That's a completely different topic. I'm not trying to...
You're making a... That's a very important point. How do we stop a Snowden from undermining the war effort if he was recruited, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how do you stop it? There's a very simple answer to that, John, and that's with very severe punishment, like the death penalty if you wind up doing something against the war effort. or let's say 25 years at I was going to say San Quentin. I didn't mean it. It's where they put one of our hero Army Rangers who I helped get out of jail. They still gave him 10 years. It was shocking. An ex-Marine who did his job in Afghanistan, in Iraq, was put into Fort Leavenworth by George Bush for doing his job a little too well. I mean, nobody wants to go to Fort Leavenworth for 10 years.
No, but I mean, you've mentioned it. You hit it right on the head. We're not enforcing the law. People like Snowden, who are treasonous and they're traitors, we're not enforcing it. And we're just kind of brushing it over. And we got individuals on both sides of the aisle that sit in the political realm that we have laws on the books that do a lot of great things. If we just enforce the laws...
John, listen, you know and I know the tide in this country is turning to conservatism, to patriotism, and national security. My three main themes on this show, I have always put national security ahead of every other issue for government and who I care about voting for. National security, it's why Trump is thriving. It's not because he's the most literate or articulate. He mangles sentences. He has no grammar. He doesn't complete a thought. I get all of that. But he is the only one who will bust heads that need to be busted. You know that, and I know that.
I'm not denying that.
You know, there was a stupid interchange between him and Rubio. They asked about the triad in the nuclear world. You saw? Did you hear that one at all last night?
I wasn't able to watch last night. I was
all right, so it's like, Mr. Trump, what do you think about the triad, the nuclear triad? He didn't know the answer to that, and he stumbled on it. So Rubio jumped down his throat and acted like the smart little jerk that he is. He was all ready for that question. Well, it doesn't really matter whether Trump knew the answer to the question of how would he deal with the nuclear triad. The answer was simple. He's the only one who hired the right people to handle it right and to destroy the enemy and bust their heads open and leave them bleeding in the desert. The thing is the people know that. They know that they have an alpha male who'll do the right thing to defend America, which is why he's surging in the polls. But let's go back to the cyber war that we're engaged in. You know the inside of it much better than I do. I know nothing about it. Why are we losing the cyber war against ISIS?
I'd say the primary reason is the bureaucracy and legal. The NSA, the National Security Agency, I know a lot of individuals that work there. Some of them are very good friends of mine. Some of them are even my family. They are constantly priding themselves on being able to fight with one hand tied behind their back. And the problem there is because we are so, as a nation, we are so concerned about
privacy. Hold on, let me finish this sentence. So concerned with civil liberties. We are so concerned with civil liberties that we'll lose both our civility and our liberties.
So yeah, absolutely. It's a balancing act. When you
Yeah, well, it's time to get them off the seesaw. The same rules of engagement that Obama has imposed upon our fighting men. For example, jet pilots who were coming back and saying they couldn't even drop their bomb loads because a girl, one of the girls in the sorority, told them not to drop the bombs on a target in Iraq because they might have some collateral damage. It's the same thing going on here. We're crippled. We are crippled from the communist mentality, the top-heavy bureaucracy that's been established long before Obama, but which has metastasized into a Frankenstein. What's your answer then?
Well, I would say that the cyber war is absolutely probably the biggest, most dangerous thing to our nation since the creation of the atomic bomb. And it unfortunately...
What do you mean? The war that's being waged against us by the Arabs in ISIS? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying cybersecurity and cyber threats in general to our nation, whether it comes from China, whether it comes from ISIS, ISIL, whether it comes from the insider threat. Cybersecurity in general is probably our biggest detriment since the creation of the atomic bomb. And the reason I say that is because cybersecurity isn't geographically located. Atomic bomb, you drop something on Nagasaki or Hiroshima, and it's located to that area. I can be in Russia and touch 12 nodes before I even touch your computer that you're looking at right in front of you. But I can do.
How do I look? What do you think of my outfit while I'm on the radio right now? I have four computers looking at me.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But this point I'm making.
I'm wearing a gray sweatsuit. I just ate lunch. Do I have any of the Indian food on my beard? Tell me, can you see it in the screen?
No, you're good. You got it all out.
No, I hear you. I understand. But look what I've tapped into. Could you stay on the line? I want to talk about this because this is the most important subject I've ever handled in the history of talk radio. Please stay with me. Mr. Hacker, your name is John, allegedly John, and you're calling allegedly from WMAL in Washington. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY. Let me summarize what we are discussing on the Savage Nation, a selective service. Meaning, how to win at cyber war, stopping ISIS and China and other domestic and international enemies through a selective service which drafts computer experts into the military. That is the discussion. And I want to say something before we go back to the hacker John on WMAL. What you are listening to on this radio show today should be worth a fortune to individuals in our federal government at all levels. This discussion that we are having for free on the public airwaves across America is something that should be listened to in replay in every division of the U.S. military, if not other divisions of intelligence, if they haven't discussed it already. You're getting it for absolutely nothing free. And you say, well, you know, it's not worth anything. You're wrong. I can guarantee you that the government has paid fortunes to so-called consultants and experts who have given fewer ideas than I'm giving for free on this program today. John on WMAL, let's add to that discussion. Maybe we could educate the individuals in the bureaucracy. How would you win this war?
Now you're asking somebody with a 5-pound brain to think at a 20-pound brain level.
No, stop it. You've been in the military for 10 years. You're a computer expert. You're a self-designated hacker. You have ideas on how to do this. You told me your hands are tied behind your back. You said you have relatives in the NSA whose hands are tied behind their back. Wouldn't one of the answers be to untie the other hand?
Yeah, but by untying the other hand goes back to what we were talking about the other day. Because of the nature of the cyber world, when entities such as the NSA or the CSS or the United States Cyber Command cast these nets out and to do their work, it's inevitable that the collateral damage that comes with it is U.S. persons. And so they're very...
So let me ask you this. This U.S. Cyber Command, is it run by intelligent, really smart people?
So the U.S. Cyber Command was stood up by General Keith Alexander. And General Alexander...
John, can you stay on the line and tell us what's not classified about the U.S. Cyber Command? When we come back, I really want to know, do we have smart people in there, or is it more of the same, basically, postmen in the military? This is the Savage Nation on a selective service to win the cyber war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Is Donald Trump a serious candidate? The reason I ask this is, if you're going to close the internet, realize, America, what that entails. That entails getting rid of the First Amendment, okay? It's no small feat. If you are going to kill...
All right, let's stop right there. He's
family,
wrong. Okay, Rand Paul is wrong. You see, this is the problem with zealots. A zealot gets locked into their doxy, and they can't think outside the constraints of their own doxy. It's like a religious fanatic. Whether that religious fanatic be Islamic, Jewish, or Christian. If you get locked into a certain doxy and you can't think outside of that doxy, your mind is limited. You can't think. And right now, what you're hearing is the shrill voice of Rand Paul, who's locked into his doxy of libertarianism. I am saying that we have to stop thinking so rigidly and start thinking about how to defeat the enemy rather than worrying about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin within our doxy. John and WMAL, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, John, you're now in charge of cybersecurity for America, and you're answering the American people at a Senate hearing on the Savage Nation. Is our cyber command a good one? Is it run by smart people?
So the U.S. Cybercom is headed
by currently dual-headed by Admiral Michael Rogers. He is also the what's called Dernza, the director of NSA. He basically wears two hats.
Yeah, so I notice you're not saying anymore. Is he really smart at what he does?
I would be lying if I could to speak to that, just because I have never served under him, and I don't know.
But John, are these people that smart in cyber warfare, or they're just bureaucrats who move their way up?
So the individuals at what I would say the terminal level, the guy that sits in front of a computer, they are some of the best in the world. I won't
hold it. That's good. Where do they get them from? Where do they come from?
Most of them come from places like you're talking about. The military, they recruit them. They bring them in from, you know, big name companies, all sorts of places. They are.
So let me ask you something. That's very good news. Wouldn't it be better news for America if we heard that the great patriot Bill Gates, who gives away so many billions of his hard-earned money, or the genius Facebook creator Mark Zuckerberg, who's so in love with illegal aliens, wouldn't it be great if they gave a press conference and said, we are going to recruit within our own company amongst our own staff members, we're going to do this for America. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take some of our best people, and we're going to give them the same salaries they're earning here if they go to work for the Department of Defense. They're not going to lose 1 cent. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to wake up to one day?
Yeah, absolutely. If they're actually recruiting and not mandating. I think that's where my contention lies, is I'm all for
recruiting. I hear you. Very good point. The day is going to come when they're going to mandate, not recruit. The day is going to come, just as it did in World War II, once ISIS bombs a few more child centers, a few more disability centers, once they blow up a few more people around the country, we're going to have a selective service, and it's going to be required. It's not going to be optional. We are way past the point of optional, my friend. We're at war. They know it, but we don't know it. They've been at war with us for a very long time. I will tell you right now, they're winning the cyber war. I don't think we're winning it. Do you? You know more than me.
They certainly are winning the propaganda war, which a lot of it revolves around the cyber domain.
Correct, and it also revolves around programmers, as we said earlier on the show. And that's why I say the great patriots, Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, can help in this war by giving us some of their best programmers to go to work for the DOD at full salary, mind you. That might cost Mark a little money, a few less undershirts, you know, goes a long way. He can pay them the money that they make and get the most patriotic, intelligent people working for him to work for the American people. I think that's a great idea, and I won't press you any further because I know you work within the bowels of these organizations, and I don't want anyone to out you based on your voice. You've been fantastic. You've been great. Sending you a copy of Government Zero. I hope that when Donald Trump becomes president, he makes you the head of cybersecurity in somewhereville in the United States of America. I like this show. I really like this show. I like creative thinking. I like going into new directions. Here is a way of taking a Republican debate that's rather prosaic. Instead of just playing the sound bites and you know, making believe I have righteous indignation about this or that and screaming and screeching, here we are developing new ideas for something very real, which is survival. I love to watch shows on survival. I've always been interested in living off the land and survival. It's why my first book in 1972 was called Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, about American, Native American methods of living from nature, so to speak. Which plants do what? This took thousands of years of knowledge to know how to cure yourself with a plant. And people who are cynical think that it's primitive medicine. They don't know in some cases it's superior medicine. So I've always been interested in what bark and what leaf and what root does things that could be useful for someone who's stranded in the wilderness or chooses to live in the wilderness. I've always been interested in survival techniques. Well, right now, the number one problem is not roots and shoots. The number one problem is defeating them in cyber warfare. And something I said much earlier, a couple of years ago, and I hope people understood what I was saying. Do you remember when I started to tell you about the astonishing history of the Arabs and how in 25 years after the death of Muhammad, they conquered so much territory through warfare, through hatred, through murder, through racism, through genocide. Remember I told you about the great days of the Arabs and how in only 25 years Muslim power grew so astonishingly in the same method, using the same methodology that they're using now, only now they have more power at their fingertips. Now they have TNT and the internet. Think about what they did in 25 years just using sword and flame, rape and murder. And now think you have the same psychotic mindset, the same genocidal maniacs, generations later, and now they have TNT and the internet to help them. And think about what I'm saying to you. And then you'll understand the danger we are in. Then you will understand that we are in a war for our survival. Then you will understand that we have a man in the leadership position called Barry Obama, who most Americans who have a rational brain know is not doing a sufficient job to defeat them, which is why he was forced to give a speech the other day about how fabulous his war is. We all know it's a lie. We all know he's a tin soldier. And we don't have to ask why. We don't have to ask how. The only question is, when is this going to change? When are we going to get serious in fighting back? The only candidate on that stage, I think, who really would do it is Donald Trump, frankly. I don't care whether he mangles sentences. I hear people say, well, he can't finish a sentence. He's got the wrong tenses. What's wrong with him? Is he stupid? All of that is nonsensical. All that matters is he's the only man on the stage that I trust will destroy them. And he'll destroy them by hiring the best people in the world, the meanest people in the world, the toughest people in the world to do so. Because we have those people in this country, only they have not been harnessed to defeat the enemy. Right now, they're harnessed by Obama to defeat the American people and freedom itself. On that lovely note, let's move on to the callers. And my primary point, I'm going to keep running this one right to the end of the show. I may do it partly tomorrow again, which is how to win at cyber war, stopping ISIS in China and all the other enemies of America. And I said we need a selective service, which would draft computer experts into the military. And I've learned some things today. I hope you have as well. Okay? Let's go to some of the other callers and see if we can learn a little bit more. Chris, on the internet, welcome to the program. What's your opinion?
Yes, Dr. Savage. And if this selective service were to go into effect, I think what would happen is the heads of these companies where you want to pull these employees from, I think they would buy their employees plane tickets and send them out of the country. And that would be a thanks for your patriotism.
In other words, you think that Bill Gates, to save a few bucks, would take them away from America so they couldn't be drafted?
Exactly. So this way we couldn't get our hands on them. Exactly. That's exactly what
boy.
I think.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I really don't doubt it. I have the same feelings that you do about these people. Despite the billions they give away, they get me sick because of what they've done to the American IT worker, how they're in favor of open borders, how they support clowns like Marco Rubio, who's simply going to bring in cheaper labor. I understand it all. I can see right through their act of being kind, gentle, and wonderful Americans with their billions of dollars to charity. I'm not so concerned about their charities. What I'm concerned about is using some of their tech workers to win the cyber war. That's what I'm concerned about, Chris.
I understand that. My thing is, I look at them as being so liberal. I see them packing up their employees and sending them to China to get them out of the country so we can't get our hands on them to use.
Well, there's a creative thought. I'm sorry you gave it away to Zuckerberg. I'm sure he's recorded it already for in case we do have to draft some of his top people to help us beat ISIS. Maybe you gave him an idea about how to avoid it, Chris. All right, my friend. There's always an answer to every question, and they're not always a good answer, by the way. WABC Joe, you've been holding a long time. Fire away.
Yeah. Hi there. Okay. Now, first and foremost, they're already doing that on a voluntary basis, going after ISIS accounts and websites. You have some such...
You know, we know they're doing it on a selective basis, but we're losing the cyber war, Joe. That we're losing the cyber war. That's the point. We can talk about this from today until next year. We're losing the war. They're better at it than we are. Never underestimate the Semitic mind. That's what I was trying to say earlier with my history of the Arabs. I said, I tried to get to a point when I didn't finish the point, when I was talking about the 25 years that they conquered so much territory. The Bedouin are some of the smartest, shrewdest people on the planet. They are in ISIS, and they're whipping us.
So I have a solution.
Go ahead. What is it?
All right. Here is what you can do, for example. Now, you have hackers all over the world. A dollar in India is worth 20 over there. What you can do, start a contest called Cyber Contest and offer prizes, and we will donate as well, your listeners. And for a period of time, a time...
No. Joe, we don't have time for a prize and a contest. I'm sorry. We are at war. They're plotting as we speak. Many of them are listening to this program. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at you because they're not doing it based upon prizes. They're doing it to defeat us and to convert this nation to a nation of slaves that follow their psychotic Sharia law. My friends, it's far beyond that. I'm sorry I had to hang up on you because I have to move on. We have many good callers on the Savage Nation. KVOR Radio, Brian, welcome. What's on your mind? What's your opinion?
Hello, how's it going? So I was calling about your cyber warfare, and I'm calling because I think it should just be mandatory that everybody serves 2 years in the military. Then the military can pick who they want. No matter what, when you go into the military, you get your first 2 years of school paid for, so to help all the liberals with their school.
Let me tell you what's going to happen the minute you do that. There's going to be deferments for people who work for cyber companies. I can guarantee you there will be a cyber deferment that will be put in place because Zuckerberg and Bill Gates will lobby the President of the United States of America and some key senators on some stupid committee and say that we need a deferment for our workers because we're already working in a very important area, important for the American economy. We need them to be exempt from the draft. You know that'll happen as I stand here. You know that that's what they would do. There's no end to greed. The first thing you have to understand is that there's larceny in the hearts of most men. That's an old statement. But you also don't understand that as rich as these men are, there's not enough money on the planet for them. They'll do whatever they have to do. Their machine will do anything it has to do to make certain that their profits go up, not down. And I don't think that that will work. It's that simple. K. Eugene in Oregon. Sally, you're a woman, thank God, joining the men on the Cyber Talk. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Okay, so I can tell you as a programmer for over 20 years that most of the people I work with are not sophisticated enough to do the kind of work that you're talking about.
I love it. I love hearing it. They couldn't learn, though?
They could, but I think it would take so much time to get people up to speed. It's vast. The idea of hacking, that word is just it's a really big, generic kind of word, and I don't think you can get a lot of people up to speed and kind of build the kind of...
All right, so let's forget the hacking side of it. What about the programming side of programming positive messages about the United States of America and about working in the U.S. military? What's wrong with having geniuses in programming do that?
I don't think we have that many geniuses. I've been around for, like I said, I've been doing this all of my adult life.
So most of them are really not that smart. They're just very computer savvy. If they're like idiot savants, in other words?
Well, it's a skill. It's a trade, just like anything else. It's
interesting. So they're like idiot savants. They're good at something, but they don't know anything else. All right. I will send you a copy of Government Zero, which has some great ideas in it, but nothing about cyber warfare. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-C. It pays to ignore the debates. I watched them for 30 minutes, and then I got the best sound bites from the debates today with my great team of Robert and Jim. And we bounced these ideas around, and I came up with today's show, which is how to win at cyber warfare, stopping ISIS in China through a selective service, which drafts computer experts into the military. And I just put that up on my Facebook page, my real Facebook page. And I invite your comments tonight, because I know I'm going to get some very good ideas. And then you get the normal, you know, the ne'er-do-wells who always say negative things and my people take them down. You know, the people who have no ideas except anger and hatred. But I'd love some ideas on this, and you can go to my Facebook page, which is, I have an official one, which is a me in the hat with the book, I'm Driving in the Car, the Blue Jag, the XKE, 1970, with Teddy in the pilot's, the driver's side seat, the passenger seat. And then there's a picture of me with a hat, and it says Government Zero. And I'd like your opinions. And I'm going to maybe do a little bit of this tomorrow, because we're losing the cyber war, folks. It's our country. And let me tell you something. One dose of sarin gas can ruin your day. And guess what? It doesn't bypass progressives if it's released in a subway tunnel.